Well, we continue verse by verse through the book of Acts. We come to Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting to his death, and that would be to Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So for now, the apostles stayed put in Jerusalem, but all the other Christians scattered. And so we see that the Christian persecution, which was led by Saul, was definitely misguided zeal and sin. But that persecution was used by God to get Christians out of Jerusalem and into the rest of the empire, spreading the message of salvation through Christ. Sometimes God uses discomfort to get us to change directions. Verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Devout men mourned over the death of Stephen. Stephen was in a better place, but his spiritual boldness and righteousness will be missed by his fellow Christians, and so they mourn him. It is normal to miss a Christian loved one when they die. But one must always remember that we are mourning our loss, not theirs. Because they are in a happy place, the happiest place in the world. Verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. And so Saul, who later will become Paul, was on a rampage. The Bible said he made havoc of the church, and the words "made havoc" actually describe what wild animals do to their prey after they catch them. And if you've ever seen any of the nature shows, you know that that's not pretty. They literally rip them to shreds. Now, I don't know if Saul was demon-possessed or not, but if he wasn't, he sure acted like it. For, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Saul attempted to eliminate the message of Christ, the memory of Christ, by persecuting the church physically. But instead, Christians spread out and proclaimed Jesus everywhere they went. Just a reminder that persecution like this always backfires on the devil, because Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Philip was one of the disciples who left Jerusalem and took the message of Jesus with him to Samaria. 6. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And so God gave Philip the ability to do miracles to authenticate the message of Christ. And this is what the apostles had been doing as well in the early church. 7. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And so by the power of Jesus, Philip did the same miracles that Jesus did when he was here in person. It was still Jesus, still doing the same things, only now instead of being in his flesh and blood body, he's in the apostles and the leadership of the early church's flesh and blood body doing these miracles. Verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. There was great joy because people were being healed, delivered from Satan, and saved. The church that is equipped with the Word of God and preachers who aren't afraid to declare it are like the Allied soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and pushed back Hitler's dominion on D-Day. When the Word of God is preached with boldness, Satan's kingdom is pushed back. His captives are set free, and there is great joy among them as well. Verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Simon the sorcerer was probably demon-possessed. I mean, you find somebody who is able to do these things, you know it's by the power of the devil. Chances are he's demon-possessed. So evidently he had sold his soul to the devil in exchange for supernatural powers and along with them the admiration of the foolish. 10. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And so we see that the people assumed that the supernatural was always of God. But it isn't. People assume the same thing today. Many do. They follow the supernatural or the supposed supernatural. But Satan can do lying wonders to confirm people in their lost condition. People see supernatural works and conclude that it is the power of God, and the one doing it should be followed no matter what their message may be, when in fact, no one should be followed no matter what kind of wonders they may be able to perform if what they're saying is contrary to the written word of God. It is a test from God. 11. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. So the people put Simon on a pedestal because he impressed them with his magic. 12. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Jesus was saving people because of the preaching of Philip. Actually, Jesus, by the power of his word, was not only saving people, but snatching people out of Satan's kingdom of darkness and placing them into the kingdom of heaven. It was a wonderful thing that was happening. And we learn from this that the word of God is a more powerful force than even the lying wonders of the devil for those who are open to truth. 13. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Simon believed, but it doesn't take a spiritual genius to see where his heart was. He believed, but his faith was shallow. He was more impressed with Philip's miracles than he was with Jesus, who those miracles pointed to. What a person is won by, they are won to. Let me say it again. What a person is won by, they are won to. In other words, if the church attempts to evangelize by means of so-called Christian entertainment, then the people they draw by it will be devoted to that entertainment. What a person is won by, they are won to. And so when they get bored with it, they will move on to something else that gives them a more exciting buzz. People need to be won to Jesus by the Word of God so that Jesus will have their devotion. 14. And verse 14 says, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. For the sake of church unity, the apostles had to verify that the Samaritans were actually Christians. 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So the Samaritans had already believed and been baptized. But God delayed giving them the Holy Spirit, which normally comes, according to Scripture, the moment one receives Christ. He delayed giving them the Spirit until after the apostles arrived. Now, it had to be that way. Or the apostles, who were Jewish, probably wouldn't have believed that these non-Jew Samaritans were really accepted by God. You see, the Samaritans were known for their idolatry, but the Father accepted them when they accepted Christ. 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. What Simon did not understand is that only the apostles could deliver the Holy Spirit by laying on of hands. You search the Scriptures far and wide, you will see there is no scriptural support for suggesting that anyone else ever laid hands on someone, resulting in them receiving the Holy Spirit. And something else Simon didn't understand was that God's gifts cannot be purchased with money. But he offered them money, the apostles' money, to be able to do this. 19, saying, give me also this power then, on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He wanted the power to impart the Holy Spirit to people, just like the apostles did. And he was willing to pay for that power. And I suppose he thought that he could really increase his influence and popularity if he could pull off that trick. If he could give people the Holy Spirit simply by laying hands on him. Well, we're going to see the apostles' response to his suggestion next time.